Hello, and welcome to presentation Troax Group AB Q4 Report 2023. My name is Melissa, and I will be your coordinator for today's event. Please note, this conference is being recorded, and for the duration of the call, your lines will be in a listen-only mode. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions at the end of the presentation. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your question. If you require assistance at any point, please press star zero and you will be connected to an operator. I'll now turn the call over to Thomas Widstrand. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the introduction, and thank you for listening in. As usual, I will follow a little with the presentation, which should be on our webpage, so troax.com, and you will find it under the headlines of Investor, and on the Investor, you will find our reports, and obviously the report that we are talking about today is the fourth quarter. I think it's only this time on the webpage in English, because there were some issues with the Swedish one. So if you have any problem with the Swedish, you have to contact me later if you need some translation or so. But I will follow this pattern or this structure, but as usual, I don't think you will have any major problem to follow my comments, even if you don't have access to this report. So I'll go straight into the presentation, and for you who are following it, I will jump quickly to the third page, because there the introduction of what we are doing can be seen. The biggest segments that we are working with in Troax is what we call machine guarding. And for 2023, we had 64% of our turnover in that part. The year before it was 65, so I wouldn't say that it is changing a lot. But as you see from the picture, we are obviously supplying solutions there for customers who have some sort of potential hazardous machines who can then create problems for people who are working in this environment. If we go to the next page, we come to the next segment, which we call warehouse partitioning, and it was around 24% of our turnover this year. What you see from the picture here is also what we do. We sell a lot of solutions then for people who are building warehouses, everything from traditional warehouses where we supply everything from shelves and back racking or anti-collapse systems to dividers, what you see down in the right hand corner of this photo. And what I will normally discuss a little bit later is combination of machine guarding and warehouse partitioning, which we call automated warehouse, which is combination of warehouses, which is the primary, let's say, installation vehicle. But we normally use them the more machine guarding, because the safety levels is higher than in an ordinary warehouse. And then I jump to the next page, which is called property protection. And as you see from the picture there, we're not talking about hazardous goods or hazardous areas, but we're talking about simply then that people like you and I, we of course in our cellars, especially in the northern part of Europe, we want to contain then our bicycles or skis or something, some sort of enclosed cage when we don't use it. So in the cellars or in some cases the attics, these are then being installed. This is approximately then 12% of our turnover in 2023. Next page is an example then of the automated warehouse. And we have a sub-saying there called safety in all levels, which obviously means then that a lot of our big customers here, they do very big installations. And in many layers of shelves, which they install, they normally need them both the shelves, which is more, I would say, of a commodity. And then they need these kind of safety levels, which is also then combined with some sort of sorting equipment or transport equipment, which potentially then could be dangerous for people who are working there. And this, I think, we do in a quite successful way, even if, which I've said now for some time, the demand in this, let's call it sub-segment, called automated warehouse, is not so high at the moment, since we as consumers are not buying too much from e-commerce compared to before. Excuse me. Now we're getting into something also which is for us a bit new. I've talked about it a couple of times, but if you look at the next page, which is called Active Safety, where we then actively prevent accidents. We bought a small company in Spain 1.5 years ago, which then uses sensors on people, and then there's a sensor also on the forklift truck, which means then that the forklift truck will automatically slow down if they approach then someone who is in the vicinity, even if the person cannot be seen. And this is something then, of course, which we are working with actively right now. And the idea is, of course, then that we go to customers who are already buying our, let's say, core of our solutions, and we add this kind of potential add-on in order then to become an even more fully-fledged, so to speak, solution provider for this kind of customers within this segment. If you allow me to jump to the next page, we have the what we call the year in brief, some sort of summary. And as I said before, it has not really changed a lot. But you see then that the if you look at the first chart there, you have the sales per region, and you see then that the actually the mainland Europe, which is then I'll call it Europe, excluding then UK and the Nordic regions, actually then diminished a little bit, whereas then the Nordics and the UK is then increasing. Not UK, but the Nordics is increasing. So also UK, because we've had a number of big projects in 2022 and also before that, that has not been present in 2023. Partly this is due to the lack of demanding with the automated warehouse. UKs and have a lower demand in 2023. On the other hand, we have new markets which are increasing, and even if it's still on a low percentage of our turnover, our aim is, of course, that it should continue to increase, and for 2023, it's increasing then with a few percentage, which is in line then with our expectations. Going down to the figures in itself, which you already have seen, then, unfortunately, we have then seen a reduction of the order intake and also of the sales compared to 2022, and that is because then that during 2022 we had still a number of these projects for automated warehouses that were delivered and invoiced, and those we haven't had for 2023. But if you exclude on the influence of automated warehouse, which will come back at a certain stage, I will touch on this a little bit later, then I would say that the core of our business is still growing, also in 2023, albeit not on any impressive figures, but the core of our business, excluding this, is growing in 2023. And that probably shows a better, let's say, description of how we normally are developing, because the huge increase which we had during 2020 and 2021, coming from partially then that people were investing a lot in these automated warehouses, was not, as you know, long-term sustainable. So we had a big peak in 2020, 2021, and then, of course, we got a bit of stabilization in 2022 and a reduction in 2023, and this is what makes then the figure to show a little bit more negative, despite the fact that we are over long period of time have had organic growth in the range of 8 to 10 or even 11% over a business cycle per year. But the positive thing is, of course, then that we already have improved our result, both in absolute terms and also in margin. So I think we are more or less back now to where we should be, both in the gross margin and also on the operating margin, especially seen in on the EBITDA level. So with a little bit more volume, we would have, I don't think we would have had any problem to exceed the targeted 20% for 2023. Now we ended up with 19.6, which is not exactly where we want to be, but I still think it's on the acceptable level. So regarding dividend, which also we come to, as you see, there's a proposal for the annual general meeting to do at least a small increase of dividend. And that, I think, goes without saying then that this explains a little bit, and that both the board and the management in the company sees then that there are good potential for future growth and, of course, for future growth in earnings. With this, I jump to the next page, which is more of a summary of the long-term figures for those of you who have not been around. So we just put in 2023 in here, and I've already explained then the what happened, I think, 23 compared to 22. So I don't go into that in much detail, but you see that on the result side, it's going up, whereas then on the turnover side, it's going down a little bit. With this, I jump to the next page called financial targets, and it's more or less some sort of summary of 2023. So if we look at the organic growth, we should have an organic growth which is, of course, higher than the what is the long-term market trend, and the market trend or the market demand is expected over a business cycle to increase with some 4-6% per year. It has not done that for 2023. I think in the best of cases, it's been zero. But because of our dependence and on the automated warehouse, it's actually done a decreasing this year. We are close on the operating margin, which is the next bullet point. And on the capital structure, you probably know also that we have a very good net debt situation in relation to EBITDA. So we should not exceed 2.5. And despite the acquisition that we did in December of Garantell, which for us is a rather good potential strategic investment, we are at 0.9 now at the end of the year. And regarding dividend, our proposal is to pay out approximately 54% of the net profit of the company. So going to some sort of more oral comments called summary of Q4 2023, which is the next page. I would say that Q4, if we take that a little bit isolated, it was characterized by a continuation of the lower market demand that we've seen during the whole of 2023. And this is then mainly then, again, sorry to repeat myself, but this is mainly then coming from this development with automated warehouse customers. This started already in 2022. We noted a stabilization in Q3, and it has actually continued, but on a low level also in Q4. But in Q4, then, one, we were a little bit negatively hit by two, let's say, trends, or maybe trend is a little bit too early to say, but there was a lack of activity, especially on the order side, in the building sector in the Nordic region. And that's something which we have seen coming around the corner, since obviously then the new building in the Nordic areas and also in the other parts of the North Europe, where we are strong in this area, has more or less diminished with substantial percentages compared to before. And that will, of course, I think, be maintained during 2024. So we have no reason to see any immediate improvement there. I think, on the other hand, we're going to see then a sustainable low demand during 24 for this sector. However, I think we have other possibilities to compensate that, but just regarding talking about the building sector, that will be a little bit weak for 24. And then, which also is not quite common for us, there were a little bit absence of bigger project orders generally in the Q4. And I especially would like to point out that the automotive demand in North America, which previously has been on a rather strong level, was quite weak in Q4. It was better in Europe for automotive, but in for North America, it was, I would say, rather weak. And we do expect it to come back now in Q1, Q2. But again, for Q4, it was a little bit of a weak point, I would say, from the order point of view. Again, I want to repeat that the rest of the market generally seems to continue to have a stable activity level. We don't see any reason that there should be a big lack of demand, with the exception of the building sector, which I already said. And for the automotive sector, which I've already mentioned, We think it will come back in North America, let's say during the first half year at least. Steel price, which has been fluctuating, as you know, in the last couple of years a lot, is rather being stable in quarter four. And for the whole year of 23, it was actually reducing a bit. This was, of course, helping also to come back to the, let's say, the level of EBITDA or operating margin that we want to have. So that's a good thing. What comes forward, we don't know. But, of course, we can never assure that this will contain will be maintained as, I mean, there are some geographical or geopolitical problems which might come up, and then it could stir, of course, the stability. But at the moment, or as per the end of the year, it was quite stable regarding the steel price. So with this, we have shown you then that we return now not only for the quarter four, but also for the whole year to, I would say, rather decent levels on the operating margin, despite the fact then that we would have liked to have a little bit more volume going through our manufacturing units. We have done some reduction of costs, of course, to compensate for this, and we've, I think, has it been done in a good way during 2023. But, of course, if you would have been able to wish something, you would have liked to have a slightly higher volume going through the manufacturing. Nevertheless, we have achieved on the target level on gross margin. The positive, when we talk about volumes, which I already commented, was the continental Europe and also the new markets, which were quite good, I would say, in Q4. So it's not so that it's some sort of general decrease in demand. I would say that there are some segments of the market and some geographical aspects which has to be taken into consideration. But, for instance, in the new markets, I think that the, without, you know, giving any forecast or anything, but I think that the demand in new markets seems step by step over a longer period of time to improve, and I don't see any reason why that shouldn't continue to improve going forward. Adjusted earnings per share, 0.16 euros. Working capital is on a lower level. You've seen this also. We've reduced to balance, of course, the lower demand with the automated warehouse. Cash flow was strong in the quarter, even if, of course, if you look at the net cash, it's, of course, negatively influenced by the cash-out acquisition of Garantel. And coming to that, you probably know, which we have informed about, that as per 1st of December, we acquired Garantel, Swedish-based, but we call it European-focused manufacturer of mainly anti-collapse systems and shelves. On paper, it looks like it's a clear competitor of Troax. It is, of course, in some ways. But I would say it complements us in a very good way. So we have different ways to market. Partly it's a different customer segments or customer list. So I think we complement each other in a very good way. The acquired company, Garantel, will maintain its brand name and its manufacturing, etc. So we want really to develop that as a separate organization. It adds approximately 30 million in turnover, and as I already said, and we're quite happy since it complements the way of selling, the way we go to market. Troax is selling a lot with own sales companies, selling a lot with advices and recommendation and so forth, whereas Garantel is selling a lot more from a small central headquarter, and let's say being more oriented towards the customers who want a little bit more easy solution, and they can contain their own advices in a more simple way. Talking also about what else we did in the quarter, we have finished the building work for yet another expansion in Hillerstorp, Sweden, which still is our one of the main manufacturing units from a volume point of view. We are also in the process of expanding the manufacturing capacity in China, outside of Shanghai. So we are closing the old factory we had there, which we had for some 10 years, And due to the fact we need to increase down the capacity, we are moving to new buildings and also investing in new capacity in China, which I think is a good sign for the whole region for the future. In Poland, with Natom that we acquired, as you know, a couple of years ago, we will now, let's say in April 2024, we will have moved all our activities to a complete new facility that we bought in connection with the purchase of Natom outside of Poznan on the western part of Poland. So the old manufacturing unit will now finally be closed, which will have a good effect in a positive way, of course, on the cost side in that company. Going to the financial highlights, I don't intend to go through that a lot. I mean, you can read for yourself, but I already mentioned that we think then that the order intake was a little bit on the weak side, even if we don't see any general lack of demand or something with the SAP panel. We think it's more that customers are perhaps a little bit postponing things until things get a little bit more stable or interest rates are coming down or these kind of things, which of course influence their decisions. Gross margin good, EBITDA, I would say, also on a good level, so nothing more to say about this for the 3 months. And on the 12 months, you have a similar development, so I would say then that the figures, what we try to convey to you, being shareholders or investors or analysts, is then that it's been a rather stable development during both Q4 and the year. Nothing really, no. Big things have really happened, I would say. Let's see about 24 what will happen, but that still lies in front of us. Going to the regional development, next page. And as I said before, you see for the 3 months regarding orders that we have positive development in what we call continental Europe and new markets, whereas we have quite negative and in Nordic region coming from the building sector. UK coming from a lack of these big project orders, which mainly coming from automated warehouse, not entirely. And then in North America, I would say rather substantial increase coming down from a lack of products with the main automotive companies there, where actually we are quite strong in now. And this refers mainly, I would say, for this quarter, to negative development in the folding guard issue. We're falling our region, whereas for Troax, the Troax brand, we are doing more similar figures than compared to last year. Similar pattern you show in sales, but it's a little bit different because, of course, what you saw then in the Nordic region is now seen on the other side, and that will, of course, over time hit also more on the sales side. During 24, but for the fourth quarter, it has not yet materialized that much, so the figures in sales invoice is better than on the order side now. So if you look at the whole of 12 months and compare that with the year before, we've had a 7% decrease, excluding acquisition. I think there are maybe 1 or 2 percentages in our price effect, but in basically you could say that there is a 5% decrease volume, which of course is nothing that we are aiming for, and we think there are good chances then to, as soon as the market will at least slightly return, to come back to the ordinary growth figures which we are usually having. So, as some conclusion, next page, there are still a number of important orders in all segments, also automated warehouse, so we do see then that the customers have very good faith in us, and we continue to have a good goodwill in the market, and we don't see then that there's been any losses or customers that went away. Also, on the contrary, I still think that the inflow of new customers is on a healthy level. Positive development in results, I will explain, despite under utilization levels in our manufacturing units. And if you exclude on the automated warehouse, I would say that we've had a decent or at least a stable activity level, and we are still growing then, on the core, let's say, of our business, which is a good and healthy sign for the future. The expectations are that in the morning on automotive and also in the warehouse sectors will start to increase again during 2024-25. When we talk about the automated warehouse, we've been informed before by the customers, these kind of big international customers, that we should expect that the products will start in the beginning of 24. And we've always, at least internally, been a little bit hesitant to say that this will probably be delayed a bit. And now I think we got confirmed that in practice for us, this will probably start earliest by the end of 24 or by the beginning of 25. On the other hand, we do see that there are very good potential for that. The demand here will come back to very good levels, perhaps not to the very extraordinary levels we had in 2020 and 21, but to very healthy and, I would say, for us, very interesting growth levels in the coming years. Even if we are not talking about the growth then in 24, I would expect then that we will start to come back step by step during 25. And we did an important acquisition which complements us in a very good way. This concludes then a little bit on the figure point of view, so I would just round off with the more general presentation. So the growth factors are on the next one, and they are still valid. Nothing has really changed there. We do see that the increased industrial automation and the growth in e-commerce over time at least will give a healthy growth also potential for us. Onshoring of manufacturing, we see some of that coming in now in quarter four, not to any major extent, but we do see that people in Europe are starting to move back more manufacturing, especially from Asia-Pacific. Next page are our production units. It's a summary of that. Now we have, just for information, added on the Garantel one on the right-hand corner up to the right. And we have just written at least the capacity for shelves. So you can see around that we have a good machine capacity for further increases on this specific product unit. But the rest is more or less a little bit stable. I would say there are some increases here and there. But generally speaking, we have a decent capacity utilization, even if we wanted it to be slightly higher in some cases. And we do still have a good capacity, which means then that when the demand starts to increase, we have a healthy, reserve capacity for doing increases with rather short lead time. Next is just a summary of the different brands that we're operating with. And I'm jumping then to the two pages for what is called for a safer tomorrow. And just want to cover this in a little bit, not want to put a lot of effort again on the same things as before, but want to draw your attention and to what will be a requirement at the third stage for all bigger companies, including Borax. So the last point there, bullet point, and we will start reporting according to the CSRD directive, and we will start according to the report. Maybe this will be until 2025, but I think we will start in any case with reporting on a certain level in the 2024 annual report, just to get acquainted a little bit with the requirements that are put up. Otherwise, the rest is more or less the same as before, and we are continuing to work, I think, in a structured way with both quality levels, environmental issues, and also, of course, the personnel related things. As before, we continue with R&D. We are certified. We are protecting people, property, and processes. And I think we are a very clear alternative for the customers who want to have a full-fledged solution provider in this important sector, which is part of what we call safety and security, mainly safety, not so much security, but in that area. And we are, of course, in the niche of that market. Well, we've been the original since 1955, and we intend to continue to be in the leading company in this sector. So with this, I'd like to, as usual, end up my presentation, and I wait eager for your questions since we now move into the Q&A sessions before we end this little conference call. So please come on with your questions.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question for any reason, you may press star two. You will be advised when to ask your question. And we do have a question from Zeno Engdalen with SHB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thanks for taking our questions. I'd just like to start on or go back to the order intake. You say that you see no major signs, no major decreases in demand, except, of course, the Nordic area and automotive in North America. Just in general, do you expect to see maybe more orders coming into Q1 and Q4 for any timing effects or similar, like a more short-term postponing, so to say?
No, no. The simple answer to your question is no, I don't see that. On the other hand, there is some truth in what you're saying, so to speak, because normally we get a number of these, what we call bigger project orders every quarter, and we had, I would say, there were rather few of them in Q4. So, with this in the back of your head, I would say, yes, we are expecting, in general, more projects will be both in Q1 and Q2, because that's what normally comes in. But it's not related to that directly customers have postponed any projects or so. It's not related to that. I think it's more maybe coincidence, or could be, of course, that customers are just postponing because what I was implying, at least, and that they are waiting for things to stabilize or that interest rates at least starts to come down a little bit, which means then that they might, you know, be more brave to start new projects.
Okay. And regarding North America, could you give some kind of indication how large the automotive area and then how the other end markets in that region is performing?
I would say automotive is in the U.S., if you exclude on the automated warehouse, which for 2020, 2021, and partly during 2022, was the biggest single segment in the U.S. But excluding that segment, which has a little bit of a strange development now in the last couple of years, automotive is the biggest segment that we have in the U.S. We are quite strong in that sector now, especially with the purchase brand of Folding Guard. We've increased sales during some years now, so it's, I don't want to give you any direct figures, but it's as a segment, it's quite important, and we're quite strong in that. So unfortunately, now when these kind of customers are not doing a lot of investment and during a quarter, you will clearly see it in the figures like this. And in the other way around, when they do investments and we get orders, you will also see it in a positive way.
Understood. And looking at the gross margin for the first quarter of 2024, how should we think about it given the events in this quarter and if Garantell has any mentionable effect?
Yeah, good question. Normally, it is so that we think that this gross margin that we have right now is quite sustainable. There are no really price effects in Q4, and there are no, you know, major effects which are influencing, even if I'm perhaps complaining a little bit that I would have liked to have a little bit more volume going through our units. So I would say that the margins that we have in Q4, and actually during Q3 also, is showing roughly where we are. It's not really influenced by neither any big negative effects or any big positive effects. So I would say it shows plus minus what the situation is at the moment. So going forward, if without giving you know, of course, any forecast, but if only the volume will be maintained on this level and we don't get any more, you know, major lack of demand or so in the market, I think we have a very good potential of keeping the margins on the levels that we spoke about recently at this level, even if the purchase of Garantell, technically or mathematically, whatever way you want to take it, will slightly reduce the margin because this kind of company have, by definition, a lower EBIT margin. So on the whole, you can expect then that everything else equal, if we are not able to compensate, you know, with improvement in other areas, the group the margin can decrease with somewhere between 0.5% and 1% just because of the acquisition.
Very good. Thank you. I'll get back in line.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we have we do have one more question coming through. Anna Woodstrom from Carnegie, please go ahead. Hi, Anna Woodstrom from Carnegie. Your line is open. Please go ahead. Your line may be muted locally.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah,
yes,
we hear you.
Yes, go ahead. Hi, it's Anna from Carnegie. Sorry.
Hi,
Anna. So my first question is regarding the notion that you've started to see some effects from the onshoring. Is that related to some specific segment?
Yes, it's mainly to machine guarding.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And my second question is regarding the Truex Safety Center. That's quite a big part of your business model. How is your focus going to be on the R&D for the Garantel group?
Good question, Anna. Now, we think that we can add something on the R&D side also for Garantel. Garantel has very good products and have creative persons, you know, doing R&D. But I think that is there are putting organizations together with a bit different backgrounds can create even better product for the customer. So, you know, not taking too much time to talk about all the details here, but in summary, I would say that I can only see a huge potential in this, that we can bring out better, more efficient products and for the customers, and which also will be maintained, you know, from a profitability level from the group, et cetera. So it's positive.
Great, thank you. And my last question is regarding the M&A focus going forward, because obviously you've strengthened your position now in Europe. Do you have a focus area going forward?
Yeah, it's naturally so that the purchase of Garantel increases the dependence on Europe. So if something interesting comes up in Europe, we would still be interested. But if we talk about priorities, it's still so that the first priority for acquisition, if something comes up, is North America. We're very keen on doing further acquisitions there of different reasons. And then coming up more and more is that since the market in Asia-Pacific is starting at least to grow a bit, even if it's a number of years behind both Europe and the United States, I think we are more keen compared to a couple of years ago to do also some sort of acquisitions there. So if I can just, you know, choose freely, I would say that the priorities are very clear. It's 1, North America, 2, Asia-Pacific, 3, Europe.
Okay, great. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you. Our next question is from Daniel Lindqvist with Danske Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, Thomas. Just a few quick ones from my side.
Mm-hmm.
Starting off with Garantel, now they're entering the order book and the order intake. So how should we view that? Will their orders turn up in the order book, or are their lead times shorter and the cycle from order to delivery will happen during the quarters to a higher degree than in the other regions?
Yeah, Garantel is very similar to what we have in the, let's say, the ordinary core business of Truax. So it's a very short time between, you know, quote or orders to delivery. So normally if you get an order in one quarter, it will be delivered in the same quarter. So you won't see any major, let's say, jumps between quarters or so. You will have a rather even development from that respect.
Okay. Great. And then in North America, for the deliveries with your ordering intake from Q3 and then deliveries in Q4, from what I find, you should have some backlog with you going into Q1 and Q2.
Yeah.
Is that the case?
That is correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. It's not a huge backlog, but it is, we have a certain backlog, so that's absolutely correct.
Yeah, yeah. And you came to fill the backlog with the continental Europe and Nordics, but you still have some in the other.
Yes, no, we perhaps. Have. Yes, correct.
Okay. Perfect. So just to understand it correctly then, for the Garantell, you should not expect to have one quarter of the yearly sales in the order intake or in the order book entering a new quarter. No.
No, you will have a fairly even order versus sales invoiced delivery process.
Okay, perfect. And then earlier on, you talked about smaller customers being more active than the larger ones, mm-hmm. and that in this quarter as well, it seems that major decisions from the bigger clients are having longer lead times.
Yeah, when we talk about automated warehouse, you're absolutely correct. This was seen also that we got orders in automated warehouse in Q4, but we still didn't get these big projects or big orders coming mainly from these big international customers. So it's more smaller and medium customers who are giving order in this area. So that's correct.
Okay, perfect. So little drama as usual then in the report.
Yes, no, I wouldn't say it to be drama. No, I don't think so.
Perfect. Thank you so much and have a nice weekend now, Thomas.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you. As a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question on today's call, please press *1 on your telephone keypad to register your question. And as we have no further questions coming through, I'd like to turn the call back over to Mr. Woodstrand.
Thank you very much. I appreciate, as you know, your interest and your willingness to listen to me. And I'd like to invite you again, of course, on the 22nd, I believe it is, on April, in connection with the annual general meeting, because then we're going to present the Q1 figures, and then, of course, I will have the opportunity to talk to you again. Unfortunately, it will be my last conference call, so I'm looking forward and to hopefully end that in a nice way. But I've, as you have seen, I've got, I think, a very good successor, which, of course, then I will try to introduce at the same time, and I'm sure that they will continue to do the development in an even better way than we've been able to do. So thank you, and looking forward to talk to you again on the 22nd of April.